Amen. All right, well, we're there in Hosea chapter number 10 tonight. And I'd like you to look down at verse number 12, a very familiar verse, Hosea chapter number 10. In verse number 12, the Bible says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy." I'd like you to make note of this little expression found in verse number 12. In fact, if you don't mind writing your Bible, maybe you can mark these words in your Bible. The Bible says, "Break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Now, I want to speak tonight on the subject of break up the fallow ground. And you might be wondering, what does this mean? What does this phrase mean, to break up the fallow ground? And in ancient times, of course, when Hosea is writing in the Old Testament, he's writing to what we would call an agricultural society. So he's using farming terms, and these would be terms that maybe to those of us that are city slickers we're not too familiar with, but in this society, in this culture, at this time, these would all be terms that people would be familiar with. They would understand the phrase, "break up your fallow ground." They would understand why God is using that illustration and what he's getting at. In the ancient times, fallow ground was land that had been left unused. It was land that was not plowed or was unplowed. And this was land that was either left unused because there was no use for it, maybe nobody owned it, nobody had need for it, or maybe it was land that was left unused for a season. Maybe they purposely did not plow it in order to restore its fertility. But this was a land, fallow ground. When there's a reference to this idea of fallow ground, this would be ground that had become hard. It would be ground that had become neglected, and it would be ground that had become unproductive. And this is an illustration that God is using, this agricultural illustration of ground that is hard and cold and neglected and unproductive. And God is telling the children of Israel here in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, he's telling the people of God in the Old Testament, he's telling them to sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, and he's telling them, break up your fallow ground. We know that in the Bible, and I'm not going to take the time to go through it, we're going to look at a lot of passages this evening, but we know that in the Bible, in the New Testament specifically, there's a famous parable of the seeds and the ground, and we may look at a verse there later on. But we know that the ground is a picture of our hearts. And of course, the seed is the Word of God. And here, God is using this as an illustration. And he's telling the children of Israel that in the same way that ground can grow hard and unproductive, it can grow cold and it can grow fallow, he says, in the same way, your hearts can become this way. And God is using this as a spiritual analogy. Because if you notice that in verse 12, he says, "Break up your fallow ground." And then he says, "For," and the word "for" means because, and he's going to explain why it is that he's telling them this. He says, "For it is time to seek the Lord." And what we see here is that the opposite of seeking the Lord is having fallow ground. The individual who has fallow ground is not able to seek the Lord. I want you to know as well that this is repeated elsewhere in Scripture. And oftentimes when something is repeated in the Bible, it tells us that there's some importance to it. Not that if it's not repeated, it's not important. Everything in the Bible is important. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But especially during this time, God is dealing with the people of God here. And he's telling them that they need to break up their fallow ground. I'd like you to keep your place there in Hosea. That's our text for tonight. And we're going to come back to it. But go with me, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4. If you're there in Hosea, and if you go backwards, you're going to go past the book of Daniel, past the book of Ezekiel, past the small book of Lamentations, and then you have the big book of Jeremiah. You have Hosea, Daniel, which is a smaller book, Ezekiel, which is a large book, Lamentations, which is a small book, and then Jeremiah chapter 4. And I'd like you to look down at verse number 3. Jeremiah chapter number 4 and verse number 3. Jeremiah 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem." Notice what he says. He says, "Break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns." And we see this illustration that God uses for the people of God, telling them to break up your fallow ground. Make your way back, if you would, to the book of Hosea. In fact, actually, if you would, go with me to the New Testament book of Hebrews. I'd like you to keep your place in Hosea. If you kept your place there, make sure you got a ribbon or a bookmark or something there. And go to the New Testament book of Hebrews, towards the end of the New Testament. If you start at the book of Revelation and you go backwards, you've got Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John, 2nd and 1st Peter, James, and then the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 2. And let me just say this, spiritually speaking, when we're talking about physically a literal field that has become fallow, is a field that has been left unused, it's been unplowed, it's not been cultivated, and it is a ground that has become hard, neglected, and unproductive. Spiritually speaking, fallow ground. When we're talking about fallow ground in our hearts as God's people, the reason that God would tell these people, break up your fallow ground for it's time to seek the Lord. Spiritually speaking, fallow ground represents a heart or a spiritual life that has grown cold, that has grown indifferent, that has hardened to God and to the Word of God and to the work of God. It is a ground that needs to be softened. It's a heart that needs to be plowed. It needs to be prepared so that it can bring new growth. Just as a farmer needs to break up the hard soil to allow the seed to take root, what God is teaching us in these passages is that we too must soften the hard places in our hearts so that God can do a work in us. And tonight I want to speak on this, and I want to explain to you and give you some thoughts in regards to what it means to break up the fallow ground and what we can do about it and why it is that this is something that is essential for our spiritual lives and our spiritual growth. Now, if you're there in Hebrews chapter number 2, let me give you three thoughts this evening. And if you've got a place where you can write down some notes, maybe you can jot this down. Or, of course, on the back of your course of the week, there's a place for you to take down some notes. Let's begin by talking about this. What is the problem of fallow ground? Why is having fallow ground a big deal? The fact that God would tell the people of God in the Old Testament to break up your fallow ground in Hosea 10 and verse 12, and again in Jeremiah 4 and verse 3, break up your fallow ground. What's the big deal? What's the problem? What's the issue? Or maybe we should say it this way. What are the characteristics of fallow ground? If God is telling His people, you need to break up the fallow ground because it's keeping you from seeking the Lord. He says, for it is time to seek the Lord. And He's telling His people, your hearts have grown fallow. Your hearts are represented not by good ground, as Jesus would teach in His parable, but instead it's fallow ground. Then we got to ask the question, what is fallow ground? What is a heart that has become fallow? And I think there's several characteristics that we can see with regards to fallow ground, the problem of the fallow ground. Let me give you several of those, and we'll begin here in Hebrews chapter 2. The first one is this, that fallow ground is neglected ground. What makes ground fallow is the fact that it grows hard and it grows cold. But the reason it grows hard and it grows cold is because of the fact that it's been neglected. It's been left alone. It's been left unused. It's a field that could produce a crop. It could produce a harvest. It could produce something of use. But instead, for one reason or another, people have chosen to not use that field, and it's been left alone. It's been neglected, and as a result, it's grown hard. It's grown unproductive. It's grown cold, and it is now fallow. And in the same way, we can learn that in our hearts and in our spiritual life, the same way that ground that is neglected grows fallow, our hearts can become fallow ground when we allow our spiritual lives to be neglected. You know, the Bible teaches that we should not neglect our spiritual lives with God. Are you there in Hebrews chapter 2? I'd like you to look down at these verses. Look down at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says this, therefore we ought to give, notice these words, therefore we ought to give thee more earnest heed. Notice those two words there, earnest heed. The word earnest is defined as ardent or an ardent pursuit of an object. It's the same idea as being eager. And the Bible says that we should give the more earnest, the more ardent, the more eager heed. The word heed means to give attention to give careful attention to. I want you to notice what the Bible is saying here, because there's a context here in Hebrews chapter 2, and when he says, therefore we ought to give the most the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time, notice these words, we should let them slip. And here's what I think we need to understand about the Christian life, is that we believe that salvation is a free gift, and praise God for that. We believe that salvation is not of works. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. We believe, as we talked about this morning, that God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That the reason that you and I can be saved tonight is because the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. It's not because you and I live a good life. It's not because we're in church on a Sunday night. It's not because of anything we've ever done. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we're not Calvinists, so we don't believe that God has chosen who's saved and who's not saved. We understand that we must make a choice to receive the gift of salvation. We must choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we can be saved. But I think the problem that we have is this. When we understand that salvation is something that we don't do, we don't produce, it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. All we do is by faith call upon Christ and receive it, and that's it. Then we're saved for all eternity. Then we get this idea that once we're saved, that's it. Once we're saved, there's nothing else to do. There's no more attention to be given. But nothing could be further from the truth. Because what the Bible tells us is that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The word slip there means it's the idea of an unintentional, allowing something to slide away. It would be the same idea as we read in the Old Testament of a sinner who slides backwards, who backslides from God. Notice verse 2, Hebrews 2 and verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. And I realize we did a whole study in Hebrews. We went verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I realize that Hebrews is a little deep, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here because I've got other things that I want to show you tonight. But I want you to notice that he's telling us if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward. And of course, he's talking about the old covenant and the new covenant, and we're not going to go into those details right now. But look at verse 3. He says, how shall we escape? And I just want you to notice these words here. He says, if we neglect so great salvation. Now I understand that the context here has different applications, and we can make an application about the old covenant and the new covenant. Of course, we can make an application about salvation itself. How shall we escape if we neglect so great of salvation, if you reject the salvation? But I want you to notice it's not just about salvation in the sense that you're saved. It is about salvation in the sense that you're saved. But what you and I need to understand, that when we got saved, that was just the first step. That was just the first thing. God wants us to be saved, yes, but God did not save you to sit there. God saved you to serve. In verse 3, we're told, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. And here's what I'm saying to you tonight. What I'm saying is this. God gave you salvation. God gave you spiritual life. God gave you a spirit life, but we need not neglect it. And when we do neglect it, then it is liable. It is not liable to become fallow. Why does fallow ground become fallow ground? Because it's neglected. And why do spiritual lives become fallow ground? Why do hearts of believers become fallow ground? Because they neglect their walk with the Lord. Let me give you another example. Keep your place there. I've asked you to keep your place in Hosea. I'd also like you to keep your place in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 2. And go with me from Hebrews to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And I'd like you to look down at verse number 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. If it's a little warm in here, we can turn the heat off. If somebody could help me with that, I'd appreciate it. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And look down at verse number 13. Notice these words. 1 Timothy 4:13, the Bible says, till I come. I want you to notice these words. Give attendance to. Give attendance to. That's an older, archaic, maybe, way of saying give attention to. Pay attention to this. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And then notice verse 14. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Notice verse 16. He says, take heed. Again, that word heed means to give attention, take notice of, pay special attention. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And here's what I'm telling you. The Christian life needs to be a life that is not neglected. Your spiritual life and your walk with God and your daily walk with God needs to be something that on a regular basis you're giving attention to. You're not neglecting it. You're not forgetting it. You say, well, what happens if I neglect it for a while? What happens if I don't worry about it for a while? Aren't I still saved? Well, isn't the ground still ground if you don't plow it, if you don't cultivate it? Yes, it's still ground. But if you neglect it, it'll grow fallow. Fallow ground is neglected ground. And fallow ground Christians are Christians that have neglected their walk with the Lord, their spiritual lives. They failed to give attendance to. They have failed to take heed unto themselves. They have failed to give the attention that is needed. You understand that after you and I got saved, God desires to have a relationship with us? And our relationship with God, like any other relationship, requires work. It requires an investment. How good is your marriage going to be if you never talk to your spouse, you never try to spend time with them, you never do anything to try to fellowship with them or anything like that? You're not going to have a very good marriage. How will your relationship with your children be if you never talk to them, you never spend time with them? In the same way, you and I need to cultivate and give time to the things of the Lord. So we see that fallow ground is neglected ground. Let me give you a second thought. If you would, go back to Hebrews, this time chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. If you kept your place in Hebrews, I think you have your place in Hosea. You have your place in Hebrews. I said number 1, fallow ground is neglected ground. Let me give you a second characteristic or problem of the fallow ground. Number 2, fallow ground is not only neglected ground, but fallow ground is hard ground. Because it's been neglected, it has grown hard. It's not broken up. It's not soft. It's not easy to then put seed into it. It's fallow ground because it's neglected ground. And it's fallow ground because it's grown hard. And you know, in the Christian life, the fallow ground Christian can also, if he neglects his spiritual walk with the Lord, can be hardened. You say hardened towards who? Well, first of all, you can be hardened towards God himself. Are you there in Hebrews chapter 3? I'd like you to look down at verse number 8. Notice what God says here in Hebrews 3 and verse 8. He's again speaking to the children of Israel. He's speaking to Christians, but he's using the children of Israel as an example. And he says, harden not your hearts. And then here's the example. He says, as in the provocation. And what he's referring to is the children of Israel in the wilderness when they were provoking God. When they were rebelling against God, they were tempting God. He says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. And I want you to notice here that a fallow ground Christian is a Christian whose heart has grown fallow because they've neglected their walk with the Lord. They've neglected their spiritual life. But not only have they grown hard, grown fallow due to neglect, they've grown hard due to neglect. And they've become hardened towards God. And here God is telling us, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. They're hardened against God. But I want you to notice it's not just being hardened against God. Keep your place there in Hebrews if you would. And go with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 3. In the New Testament, of course, you've got Matthew and then the book of Mark. Mark chapter 3. They're hardened against God. But as we talked about this morning, your walk with God is connected, your relationship with God is connected to your relationship with people. And people that are hardened, they're not only hardened to God, that's where it begins. But the truth of the matter is this, that you and I would never admit to being hardened towards God. We might be hardened towards God, but we won't admit that. We won't say that out loud. We may not even be aware of it. But another characteristic of a fallow ground, because if you're asking yourself, I wonder if I have fallow ground. And you should be asking yourself that, because you either have good ground, if you're saved, you either have good ground or you have fallow ground. You either have good ground or you have ground that has grown hard. And if you have ground that's grown hard, it's grown hard due to neglect. You say it's hardened. Hardened towards who? Hardened towards God. But I want you to notice, secondly, hardened towards others. Notice in Mark chapter 3 and verse 1. We have this story, and I'm not going to take the time to develop the story, but I just want you to see what Jesus says here. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says this, "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand." This is a man who's disabled. He has a withered hand. The Bible says, "And they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him." So they're watching Jesus. Jesus is there, and there's a man with a withered hand. He's already healed many people, and they're watching Jesus, but they're not watching Jesus out of wonder. They're not watching Jesus out of amazement. They're not watching Jesus out of praise and saying, "Wow, look at this. He's going to heal this man." No, the Bible tells us that they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. They wanted to see, is he going to do this on the Sabbath day? And if he does this on the Sabbath day, then we have something on him. We have something to get him in trouble with. I want you to notice the response of Christ in verse 5, Mark chapter 3 and verse 5. The Bible says this, "And when he had looked round about on them," I want you to notice these words. The Bible says, "with anger." Jesus was angry about this. Now, obviously, Jesus didn't sin. The Bible says it's possible to be angry and not sin. In fact, the Bible commands us, be angry and sin not. I would say this, that most of the time that you and I are angry, we sin because we lack self-control. Jesus did not sin here, but he was angry about this. The Bible says that when Jesus had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved, notice what the Bible says here. Notice what the Bible says that Jesus was grieved about. He was grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, "Stretch forth thine hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. See, the thing about these individuals in this synagogue, the Bible says that they sat and watched that they might accuse him, is that they didn't care about this man with a withered hand. They didn't care. The Bible says that their hearts were hard. They were hard towards God. They were hard towards Christ. And as a result, they were hard towards others. I mean, you would think if you saw a man with a withered hand be healed, that the proper response would be, "Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, that's amazing. That's great. God healed that individual. Jesus healed that individual." But instead, these people have this view of it, and they are wanting to accuse Jesus. They're upset about it. And Jesus is upset about the fact that they're upset about it. Why? Because their hearts were hardened. Not just towards God, but towards this individual. And I'm here to tell you that fallow ground is ground that's hard. You say, "How can I know if my heart is fallow? Is your heart hard? Is it hard towards God?" You may never admit that. Is it hard towards others? See, the opposite of hard is tender. In fact, the Bible gives us a famous verse where we are told to forgive one another, to love one another, and it says to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. But here, we don't have a tender heart. No, we have a hard heart. It's a fallow ground heart. So we see that fallow ground is neglected ground. And fallow ground is hard ground. In Ezekiel chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. In fact, I'd like you to go to Matthew chapter 24, if you would. You're there in Mark, just flip back to Matthew chapter 24 and look down at verse number 12. I'll read to you from Ezekiel 2 and verse 4. Ezekiel 2 and verse 4, the Bible says this, "For they are impudent children and..." Here's a word I want you to hear, "stiff-hearted." Stiff-hearted. "They are impudent." The word impudent means rebellious, not showing respect. "They are impudent children and stiff-hearted." Their heart is stiff. It's hard. It's fallow. So we see that fallow ground is neglected ground. And we see that fallow ground is hard ground. But I want you to notice, thirdly, that fallow ground is cold ground. See, the thing about fallow ground, and the reason that they had to go out there and break up this ground, is because they could not plant seed in fallow ground, because fallow ground had been neglected for a while, and as a result of being neglected, it had grown hard, and it had grown cold. And unfortunately, this is what happens to many Christians. They grow hard, and they grow cold. Why does this happen? Well, there's lots of reasons, but let me give you a couple. In Matthew 24 and verse 12, this is an end times verse, but you and I live in the end times. And we don't live in the tribulation period or in the wrath of God. Hopefully you don't live in the wrath of God, but We don't live in the time of the Antichrist, and that has not happened yet. But anything past the New Testament, God considers end times. And here in Matthew 24 and verse 12, the Bible says this, "And because iniquity shall abound," look at it, "the love of many shall wax cold." Why is it that our love waxes cold? Because of iniquity. Because of sin. When we allow sin in our lives, it often causes us to neglect our spiritual walk. Isn't that true? And as a result, our hearts grow hard and our hearts grow cold. And the Bible here tells us that what grows cold is the love of many. The love of many shall wax cold. And that's what had happened in the synagogue with the man with the withered hand. Those people's love had grown cold. It had grown hard. Why? Because they had fallow ground. Their hearts were not tender. They were hard towards the things of God. Let me give you another example. Go to Revelation. If you would, you're there in Matthew. We're going to come back to Matthew in a minute. But that's the first book in the New Testament. Go all the way to the book of Revelation, the last book in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 2. I want you to see this idea of your love growing, waxing cold. Let me ask you something. How's your love? How's the temperature of your love? Is it hot or is it cold? Is it ardent or is it apathetic? In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, speaking to the seven churches in Asia. I want you to notice what he says to this church, Revelation 2 and verse 4. He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." This is the church of Ephesus, of course. He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." Notice the words. He says, "Because thou hast left thy first love." Their love had waxed cold. And the remedy, verse 5, he says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." The remedy is to remember and repent. But I want you to notice that their love had waxed cold. They had left their first love. They just weren't as in love with God and as in love with people as they used to be. This is fallow ground. Fallow ground is neglected ground. Fallow ground is hard ground. Fallow ground is cold ground. And then let me give you a fourth one real quickly. Fallow ground is dormant ground. If you would, go make your way back to Matthew. You're in Revelation, the last book in the New Testament. If you go back to Matthew chapter 13, the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 13, of course, is the famous parable of the sower. And you've got the four different grounds and the seed being sowed. And I'm not going to preach on that, but I just want you to notice one illustration here in Matthew 13 and verse 22. We see that fallow ground is dormant ground. And dormant, the word dormant means having a normal physical function suspended or slowed down for a period of time, in or as if in a deep sleep, temporarily inactive, inoperative. When ground goes dormant, it's not producing anything, it's like it's asleep. It's not fruitful. You're there in Matthew 13? Look at verse 22. The Bible says in Matthew 13, 22, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word." Notice the words here, last part of verse 22, "and he becometh unfruitful." And what we find is the prophet Hosea and the prophet Jeremiah telling the children of Israel, your hearts have become fallow. He said, you need to break up the fallow ground. You say, well, what does that mean that our hearts are grown fallow? Well, they've been neglected. Ground becomes fallow because of the fact that it's neglected. In your spiritual life, if it's neglected, it will become fallow ground. And as a result of being neglected, it will grow hard. And as a result of growing hard, it will grow cold. And as a result of being neglected and growing hard and growing cold, it will go dormant. So maybe you say, I don't get as many people saved as I used to. Maybe you say, my spiritual life just doesn't feel like it used to. Just not as excited. I'm just not as in love. I just feel like I've grown hard and I feel like I've grown cold. And you may be a fallow ground Christian. And the problem that I have with this whole situation of fallow ground, I remember years ago, if you wouldn't mind, go back to Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10, I remember years ago sitting across my desk in an office with a man who I respected and was a very faithful Christian, on fire for the Lord, on fire for the things of God. I remember sitting across my desk from this man one time, we were having a conversation, and he said to me, "Pastor, if you ever see a problem in my Christian life, if you ever see a problem in my work, if you ever see a problem in the things that I'm doing with my family, if you ever see a problem, please, I want you to know, you can come and tell me, and I will receive it, and I just want to do everything the best that I can. I want to do everything as well as possible." And I remember thinking to myself, like, that's great. That's amazing. Praise the Lord for that. I mean, good. That's a good attitude to have. What I found over the years, though, is that the problem is, by the time you get to the place where you begin to identify, oh, this individual has an issue here. By the time you get to the place where it becomes apparent that you're not as on fire as you used to be, you're not as tender as you used to be, you're not soft, and you're not hot, and you're actually just cold and hard and dormant. By the time you get to that place, that offer has been reneged. That offer is no longer available. Because by the time you get to the place where everyone can begin to identify, there's something wrong with that person. There's something, it just doesn't seem like they're as happy as they used to be, as on fire as they used to be, as faithful as they used to be, as loving God as they used to be. By the time we begin to identify that on an outward level, coming to you and saying, "Hey brother, I think you're backslidden," is not going to go well. And for that reason, God tells the children of Israel, you know what you got to do? Is you got to break up your own fallow ground. Because the truth is this, that the person who can best identify whether you're growing cold and growing hard and growing dormant is you. So he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So we see the problem of fallow ground. What's the problem? Fallow ground is neglected ground. And if you neglect your spiritual walk, if you neglect your spiritual life, if you neglect the things of the Lord, I'm here to tell you, you will grow hard. You will grow cold. You will grow dormant. And by the time there's enough weeds in that field for us to see it and understand it, it'll be too late. You say, well, what do I do then? You got to break it up yourself. We see the problems of the fallow ground, but then secondly, this evening, let me quickly talk to you about the plowing of the fallow ground. The plowing of the fallow ground. Again, we're not in an agricultural society. Some of you are. Maybe you're farmers and you understand these things, but for those of us that don't, let me give you a definition of the word plow. It means to turn up soil with a plow. The tool is called a plow, and you plow with the plow. You turn up soil with a plow. You tear it up. You cut into it, you till the soil, you break it up. You say, why do I need to break it up? Because it's hard. Why do I need to break it up? Because it's cold. Why do I need to break it up? Because in its state, it's dormant, it will not produce fruit. So what do? I've got to plow it. I've got to plow it. I've got to break it up. Break up your fallow ground. Now the question is, well, how do we do this? How does this happen? I'd like to give you two steps for plowing your field, for breaking up your fallow ground. Because the truth is this, I can't do it. I can't do it. By the time I realize it, by the time your wife realizes it, by the time your husband realizes it, by the time your friends realize it, it's too late. This is a responsibility that falls upon every individual Christian to watch, to keep an eye, and to monitor your own heart. The plowing of the fallow ground. How do you do it? Let me say this. We've got many young people that have grown up in church here in our church, and I'm thankful for that. Praise the Lord. I used to be a young person. I'm not a young person anymore, as you can tell by my gray hairs. But I'm an individual that grew up in a Christian home, and I grew up in church. And you know, I think that one of the dangers, and there's many blessings to growing up in a Christian home. Obviously, I recommend it. But one of the dangers of growing up in church and growing up in a Christian home is that there's a very good possibility that you've never been on fire for God. that you've never been zealous for the things of the Lord. It's a very good possibility that all you've ever known is fallow ground. You go to church because your parents bring you to church. You read your Bible because your parents read your Bible to you or make you read the Bible when you grow old enough. You go soul winning because your parents bring you soul winning. And I'm all for those things. I think parents should make their kids do all those things. I think you should make your kids brush their teeth and floss and go to church. I think all those things are good. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But what I'm saying is this. Young people who grow up in this type of environment need to ask themselves, am I right with God? Am I excited for the things of the Lord? Have I ever experienced revival in my own heart and am on fire for the things of God? If not, it may be that all you've ever experienced is fallow ground. So what do we do about it? The plowing of the fallow ground. Two things. Number one, you cultivate it. Cultivate it. Again, for those of you, for those of us that are not farmers, the word cultivate means to prepare and work on land in order to raise crops. You till it. See, before you can raise a crop in a field, on a ground, you have to cultivate it. You have to prepare it so that it's ready to produce a harvest. You cultivate it. You break it up. That's what the whole idea is about. Break up your fallow ground. Your ground is hard. Your ground is cold. You break it up. Now, how do we do this spiritually? Physically, obviously, you take a tool and you start breaking up the ground. But how do we do this spiritually? If you're there in Hosea, I'd like you to go back to Jeremiah, but this time, chapter 23, if you would. If you go backwards from Hosea, again, you've got Daniel, Ezekiel, Lamentations, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23. It's good for us to know what a fallow ground Christian looks like, and it's good for us to identify if we are becoming fallow ground Christians. Fallow ground is neglected ground. Fallow ground is hard ground. Fallow ground is cold ground. Fallow ground is dormant ground. But then the question is, what do we do about it? What do we do about it? Well, number one, we cultivate it. We need to break it up. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 29, the Bible says this, is not my word like as a fire? Now, if you've got a cold ground, taking the fire of the word of God to it, well, heat it up. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? But that's not really what I want to emphasize. What I want to emphasize is this. The Bible says, and like a hammer. What are we talking about? We're talking about the word of God. Is not my word like as a fire? Is not my word like as a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces? See, when we're talking about a fallow, grounded heart, a heart that's fallow, that's hard, that's cold, that's neglected, that's dormant, you say, how do we plow that? How do we cultivate that? How do we break that up spiritually? You do it with the Word of God. The Word of God is the hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. On a very practical level, what does that look like? Let me give you a verse that I think illustrates this. If you can go with me to the New Testament book of Acts, Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17, and look at verse number 11. Acts 17 and verse 11, the Bible says in Acts 17 verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. We, of course, are seeing the Apostle Paul on his missionary journeys, and he has now left the church at Thessalonica, and he's in Berea, and the Bible tells us here that he identifies the fact that these, the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Why were they more noble? Why were they better? Here's what Paul is saying. I didn't say this. Paul said it. Paul said the Christians in Berea were better than the Christians in Thessalonica. You've heard me say this before, and I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but not all Christians are created equal. Some Christians are better than others. Let me say this, not all churches are created equal. Some churches are better than others. And here he says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Here's why. In that day, Paul shows up to Berea, and he's preaching there. He's ministering the word of God to them. And here's one thing he identified about the Bereans. He said, here's why they're more noble. Here's why they're better. Here's what's better about them. He says, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They showed up to church. And they sat in the preaching, and they were ready to receive the word of God, the Bible says, with all readiness of mind. And I've got to ask you the question. When's the last time you showed up to a church service, and you sat down, and instead of just kind of zoning out and just waiting, you know, when's this guy going to be over so I can go do what I actually want to do? When's the last time you showed up to church, and you sat down, and you said, Lord, speak to me through your word today? Use your word. You know what's interesting to me is that I find that Christians, and God bless you, I'm not mad at you, but I find that Christians that go to church and they're faithful to church and they're there on a Sunday morning and they're on Sunday night and they're on Wednesday night and praise the Lord for it. But I find that Christians are more concerned about whether or not the preacher is preaching about them than they are about whether the preaching applies to them. I mean, we're more concerned, like, I wonder why he said that. I wonder if he's talking about me. I wonder if he's talking about this person. I wonder if he's talking about that person. Hey, you know what you ought to do is show up to church and say, I hope he talks about me. I hope the word of God is something I need to hear. I hope that God will take the word of God like a hammer and break that hard heart of mine. When's the last time you and I came to church and said, God, I've grown hard towards sword winning. I've grown hard towards tithing. I've grown hard towards people. I've grown apathetic and cold. I've never even experienced revival in my own heart. And oh God, use your word as a hammer to break this fallow ground. When's the last time you stopped worrying so much about whether you were getting preached at and accepted the preaching that was coming your way and said, God, speak to me through your word? Never understood this idea. We come to church supposedly to hear the word of God, but you know, we only like it if we can somehow dodge every bullet and walk out the door saying, oh, well, I didn't get hit that time. Y'all don't want to get hit every time. Y'all don't want to be preached at every time. Y'all not get mad if I think he was preaching at me. Y'all don't get mad if you think it's been a while since he's preached against me. And I understand that none of us like getting preached. I understand. What I'm saying to you is this. When's the last time you showed up to church? When's the last time you took time to pray and to say, Lord, we're going to church this morning. Lord, we're going to church tonight. Lord, we're going to church on Wednesday night. And the word of God will be open. And the word of God will be preached. And Lord, I want to be ready to receive the word with all readiness of mind. I'm ready to hear from your word, Lord. I'm ready to hear. I'm ready to be corrected. I'm ready for the word of God like a hammer to break that fallow ground. Amen. We cultivate it during the preaching of the word of God. But see, that's going to require you putting your phone away during the preaching. That's going to require you not checking in on the sports game that happens to be going on during the preaching. That might actually require you opening a Bible and turning to the passages and paying attention and maybe taking some notes. That might actually require you caring a little bit about the things of God and the Word of God. It's not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. See, the Bereans, they were more noble because they received the word with all readiness of mind. But that's not it. How do we cultivate this fallow ground? We do it during the preaching of the word of God, but let me say this as well. We do it during the reading of the word of God. Notice Acts 17. They told me to be careful. And sorry, honey. We'll put that back up, I promise. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness of mind. That's what they did at church. Knows what they did at home, and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. When's the last time you opened up your Bible on a non-church day? You got alone with God somewhere, and you opened up a King James Bible, and you began to read it. Let's just start there. When's the last time you read it? And if you're like, I'm super Christian and I've developed a habit, I've got a chart and I check it off and every year I read it, okay, praise God for that. When's the last time you sat down and you actually said, Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law? Lord, you did not just give this to me so I can have some sort of assignment and I can check it off somewhere and get a gold star someday. You gave this to me because you want to speak to me. You want to speak through my word, through your word, and my heart gets hard. I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I need you to speak to me today. When's the last time you and I got alone with the Word of God and said, God, speak to me? Because I don't want my heart to grow cold. And I don't want my heart to grow hard. And I don't want to neglect things of the Lord. We see the problem of the fallow ground, and we see the plowing of the fallow ground. It needs to be cultivated. This happens during the preaching of the Word of God. This happens during the reading of the Word of God. Because, look, we've got nothing more than the Word of God, and that's enough. That's all we need. Sometimes people ask me, Pastor, I notice you don't tell a lot of jokes, and I notice you don't tell a lot of stories, I notice you don't read a lot of poems in your preaching. Hey, we've got the Bible. That's all we need. And I'm not against an illustration here and there, and I'm not against reading something here and there, but I'm here to tell you that what you need and what I need is the Word of God in heavy doses. And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. So we must cultivate it. But then not only that, not only must we cultivate it, we must clear it out. Because here's what happens. If you can, go back to Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. When a farmer goes out there and there's a fallow ground, and they look at the ground and they say, I can't plant anything here. I can't produce a harvest here. This ground is neglected. It's hard. It's cold. I've got to take a tool out here and begin to break this ground up. I've got to break up the fallow ground. I've got to break it up and soften it up and warm it up, so that it can produce something. See, often here's what happens. When you begin to break up that fallow ground, you begin to find things. You begin to find rocks. You begin to find trash. You begin to find things in that fallow ground that cannot stay. At least it cannot stay if you're going to grow harvest. So it must be cultivated and it must be cleared out. Are you there in Jeremiah 4? Look at verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 3. For thus saith the Lord, the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. And then he says this, and sow not among the thorns. See, he says, when you begin to break up the fallow ground, you know what you might find in that fallow ground is a bunch of thorns. You might find some things there that are going to keep you from producing a harvest. So you've got to cultivate it, and you've got to clear it out. You've got to break it up, and you've got to clean it out. In Matthew 13, I've already read this to you, but I want to just read it again. Matthew 13 and verse 22 says this, he also that receives seed among the thorns. That's the same thing we're reading about in Jeremiah 4:3. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Why is it that you can sit there week after week, month after month, year after year, and let your heart grow cold and hard? It's not because the word isn't powerful. And excuse me, I know I'm not perfect and I'm a sinner like everybody else, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we're perfect or whatever, but I can tell you this, at Verity Baptist Church, you show up here, you're going to get the Word of God in heavy doses. So how can it be that people sit in a church like this week after week after week and get the Word of God fed to them week after week after week, and it doesn't produce anything? It's not the Word of God's fault. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The Bible says that it will produce what it was sent to do. So what's the problem? Here's the problem. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. You get the word, but it's choked out because you've got a heart that's filled with thorns. Sin, lust, covetousness, anger, bitterness, hatred. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, they choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So we see the problem of the fallow ground. What is it? Why can't we be satisfied with fallow ground? Well, because fallow ground is neglected ground. And fallow ground is hard ground. And fallow ground is cold ground. And fallow ground is dormant ground. And we see the plowing of the fallow ground. What do we do with it? We cultivate it, We cultivate it during the preaching of the Word of God. We cultivate it during the reading of the Word of God. We say to the Word of God, the hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces, and we say, Lord, I want you to use your Word. I'm ready to receive your Word, and I want you to break up this fallow ground, this hard and cold heart of mine. And then as God begins to do that work and we begin to identify, this has got to go. This can't stay. Here's a thorn, and here's a weed, and here's a rock, and here's track. We began to clear out that ground. And slowly, it goes from fallow ground to good ground. Slowly, it becomes ground that can produce. So very quickly, tonight, let me give you the third point. We'll finish up. I said, number one, we saw the problem of the fallow ground. Number two, we saw the plowing of the fallow ground. But then thirdly, this evening, I'd like to just end by talking about the potential of the fallow ground. The potential of the fallow ground. If you can, go back to Hosea chapter 10. See, the thing about the fallow ground is that it's dormant. It's just asleep. But there's potential there. You know that in every Christian, there's a potential for fruit? In every Christian, there's a potential for something to happen in that Christian life. There's a potential of the fallow ground. And here's the promise. I named the point the potential of the fallow ground, but we could have called it the promise of the fallow ground. Because here's the promise of the potential. Ready? Here's what God says. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Notice, we were focusing in on this phrase, break up your fallow ground, but that's not where the verse begins. The verse begins by saying this, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Sow is what we do. The sower went out and sowed the field, right? He threw the seed out in the field. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. And then here's what God says. God says, if you begin to break up the fallow ground and you begin to sow in righteousness. Because see, right now your heart, if your heart is fallow, it's hard and it's cold. And it doesn't matter how much seed we throw on it. Doesn't matter how much rain falls on it. Doesn't matter how much we try to do with it. If it's fallow ground, it's not going to produce anything. But God says, you start breaking up that fallow ground and you start sowing the seed, right? Receive the word of God with all readiness of mind. Search the scriptures daily, whether those things are so. You begin to sow in that field, in that heart. Here's what God says. You break up the fallow ground. You begin to sow. And God says, I promise you will reap. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, God says. Reap in mercy. God promises you'll reap. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now that can work for us and that can work against us. We can sow wickedness and reap the whirlwind. We can sow righteousness and reap mercy. And here's the potential of fallow ground. Is that if you break up the fallow ground and begin to reap, and begin to sow, God says, you will reap. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Now, this promise has to do with the promise that God, this is just a promise of, I would call it a promise that God has put, a law of the universe. God has just said this. God says, if you reap, you will sow. No matter which way you do that, if you sow, you will reap. No matter which way you do that. If you're sowing sin, you're going to reap bad things. You're sowing righteousness, you're going to reap good things. It doesn't matter how you do it. The truth is this, God said, it's just a fact of life. You reap what you sow. And God says, if you begin to break up the fallow ground and you begin to sow yourselves in righteousness, I promise you. And God says, it's not because I love you any extra, although God does love you. It's not because of anything I'm going to do. It's just a fact of life. If you sow, you will reap. So if you break up the fallow ground and begin to sow, God says, I promise you'll reap. But then God says something else. Why don't you look at it again? Hosea 10 and verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Here's a promise from God. God says, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. And then I want you to notice this. He says this. He says, till he come and, notice this word, rain. Don't miss the words. It's an agricultural illustration here. He says, till he come and reign. Rain righteousness upon you. And in the illustration, the former illustration, here's what God's saying. God's saying, you begin to break up that fallow ground. You begin to sow and receive the word. You search the scriptures daily. You receive the word with all readiness of mind. You begin to do those things, and I promise you two things. You will reap, and God says, I will rain. Now, I don't know much about farming, but I know this. They need rain. They need water. But that's what God's in control of. And here's what God says. God says, I will help you. I will supernaturally help you. I will make sure if I see you sowing, I see you breaking up the fallow ground, he says, I will rain righteousness upon you. He says, I promise. You'll reap and I'll rain. That's the potential, but you've got to break up the fallow ground. Let me give you one last verse, couple verses, and we'll be done. Go to 2 Peter, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 1. If you kept your place in Hebrews, you got Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. We're talking about fallow ground. What's the problem with fallow ground? It's neglected ground, it's hard ground, it's cold ground, it's dormant ground, and unfortunately, that's the description of a lot of Christians and their Christian life. You say, what do we do about it? We plow it. We cultivate it. We take the hammer of the Word of God and begin to break the rocks and begin to break the ground. We begin to break it up. It happens during the preaching. You need to start showing up. You need to start making a decision. Instead of fighting with your wife on your way to church, you ought to be praying on your way to church and saying, Lord, speak to my heart. When the Word of God is open, when the King James Bible is read, when the Word of God, Lord, I need to hear from you today. I want to be ready to receive the Word with all readiness of mind. You need to get up on Monday morning and get up on Tuesday morning and get up on Wednesday morning and open up the Word of God and say, God, you gave me this Bible for a reason. There's something you want me to learn from it. Help me to learn from it. And you need to begin to clear out the thorns and the rocks and the junk and all those things that'll keep the harvest from coming. Clear it out. And then God says, you do that and I promise you'll reap and I'll rain. You'll reap and I'll begin to supernaturally help you. I'll begin to rain the blessings upon you. I'll rain righteousness upon you. I brought this up to you recently in my personal Bible reading, I think last week or whatever I was reading, in one of the minor prophets, and this verse, I'd read it many times before, but it just jumped out at me where God said, I cause it to rain in one city and I don't cause it to rain in another city. One city has a harvest and the other city doesn't have a harvest. God says, I control that. And I'm here to tell you that God can bless your business or God can curse your business. God can bless your marriage or God can curse your marriage. God can bless your health or God can curse your health. So instead of being distracted with all these things that are keeping you away from God, why not seek the Lord? And say, God, I need you to rain upon me. And God says, I'm happy to rain as soon as you start plowing. As soon as you start plowing. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to be done in 2 minutes. Look at it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And beside this, I want you to see this. Notice what he says. He says, giving all diligence. That's just another way of saying, don't neglect it. Giving all diligence. You say, well, I'm already saved. What else do I need to do? Here's what you need to do. If you're already saved, you need to give all diligence to add to your faith. See, faith is just the beginning. The Bible says that we're saved by faith, but the Bible says the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. So God says, look, it's not enough to just get saved. I'm glad you got saved, but he says there's more to do. He says, I want you to give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like we're supposed to be working on this thing all the time. Don't neglect it. Don't let it grow fallow. You've got to work on it. You say, I've got faith. Good. Then work on virtue. You say, I got virtue. Okay. Then work on knowledge. I've got knowledge. Okay. Then work on temperance. I've got temperance. Okay. Then work on patience. I've got patience. Okay. Then work on godliness. I've got godliness. Okay. Then work on brotherly kindness. I've got brotherly kindness. Okay. Then work on charity. You say, I got charity. No, you don't. Start over. Because by then I probably let virtue slip a little bit. By then knowledge has probably grown some weeds and it needs to be dealt with. By then temperance probably needs some attention. And I'm here to tell you, don't let your heart grow fallow. And here's the promise of God. See, verses 5, 6, and 7 is what we do. Verse 8 is what God does. Look at it. 2 Peter 1:8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I promise you, you do these things, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. That is the opposite of fallow ground. Fallow ground. Go back to Hosea chapter 10. We'll finish up. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break out the fallow ground. Here's what it's all about. This is what we've really been talking about tonight. For it is time to seek the Lord. I'm here to tell you it's time to seek the Lord. But you're not just going to seek the Lord by accident. It's not just something that's going to happen. Well, I grew up in a Christian home and I've grown up in church my whole life. That doesn't mean anything. I'm glad you grew up in a Christian home and I'm glad you've been in church your whole life and I'm glad that you're saved and I'm glad for all those things, but that doesn't mean anything. You've got to break up your fallow ground. Because seeking the Lord is something that's intentional. The word seek is a word we don't use a lot today. But you might be familiar with it in this game of children, hide and seek. And to seek means that we get up and we're searching, we're looking, we're seeking the Lord. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, you have to turn there, I'll just read this for you. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 says this, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra was a great man of God. But the Bible tells us that he had prepared to seek the Lord. And that's what you and I need to do. So let's break up our fallow ground. Let's bow our head tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I think we need you. Because I can't do this. I can't tell when people's hearts grow cold and hard. By the time I can tell, it's too late. And the secret is not that their pastor would notice, or that their pastor's wife would notice, or that their spouse would notice, or that some caring friend would notice. If those things happen, then those things are great. But the secret is to never let our ground grow fallow in the first place. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be Christians that would break up our fallow ground, to realize that we are prone to grow cold and hard and dormant. And Lord, help us to give attention to seek the Lord with all our lives. We love you. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.